Okay, so let's chant Shakyamuni Buddha's mantra on the first base sheet in the white prayer book, followed by the four immeasurables in English, and then in Tibetan. Taya ta om mune mune maha munaye soha. Taya ta om mune mune maha munaye soha. Taya ta om mune mune maha munaye soha. May all sentient beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all sentient beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from the happiness that is free from suffering. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from attachment for friends and hatred for enemies. Sentientam chedevatam de turn the page and see the two mantras at the bottom of the pink page. Let's chant Chen Rezig's mantra 8 times and then Green Tara's mantra 7 times. Om Mani Padme Hum. 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 Om Taritu Taritu Re Soha. 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 Now the children are welcome to go there to their classes. If you, your child has never been to the center, if you would please accompany your child to fill out a survey form and find out where to pick your child up.
Hello, 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 cheesecake, cheesecake. Mm. Yeah, please. So, would you mind to lead 9 round breathing meditations? Yeah. Mm. Call the mic. Dynamic? Yeah, yeah. So maybe you lead both of them. Yeah. Mm.
So we'll do two.
Could you get that way?
Okay. So the first one is 9 round breathing, and this is designed to clean out your chakras, and also to get rid of excess energy. And we'll start. We'll start with our left hand, and what we'll do is we'll use our left hand to cover our left nostril and breathe in through our right nostril. And when we breathe in, that's 1. And then still with your left hand, cover your right nostril and breathe out. And back to the left nostril, in is 2. And out. Then in 3. And out. Then we'll switch to the right hand. In will be 4. Out. In 5. And in 6. And then we'll do both nostrils. One. Two. Or it would actually be 6 or 7, 8, and 9. Okay, we'll do that one more time. Except I'll be quiet this time. We'll just do it. So start with left. Switch. The next meditation is called dynamic meditation. It's also called, I think, the rhythmic meditation.
What is it called?
The rhythmic meditation or dynamic meditation. Mm-hmm. And a few things just to keep in mind about this meditation is that it's not a concentration meditation like when you have a single point of focus on your breath or on the Buddha. This is an all-inclusive practice that allows you to use your senses and your body to gain awareness. It's designed to get you out of your head and into your body, and it's particularly good for people like me who are already maybe in their mind a little bit too much to begin with. So all of this meditation will be movement. You usually keep your eyes open for this meditation, and I've also been told that it's good to never completely stop during the meditation. There will be points that you'll almost stop, but keep it kind of fluid and keep it moving. And we'll see, I don't know if everyone can see me, but you start with your hands flat on your legs here. And the first movement is we'll come up. And that's 1, except you don't count. That's another thing. Don't apply any sound to the movement. Just focus on the movement. So we'll come up with the right hand. The next movement comes up here. And directly down to the abdomen. And then with the other hand, same. Up. Up more to the abdomen. Then we'll move our right hand to our heart. Back out. Down. And then finally completely down. And then do the same thing with the left hand to the heart. Out. Down. And completely down. And I thought it might be good to go through that three times. So, and begin. If you're interested in learning more about that meditation, you can go to awarenesswithmovement.org and learn more.
Probably writing, moving slowly, probably slowly. Probably with maybe slowly, like slowly. With full awareness, slowly. So that, you know. The full awareness, I think it's probably better than that. Like this. So anyway, the whole idea is, you know, putting all your attentions very closely on physical movement. So there's like, what are you trying to do? So we're trying to gain some kind of concentration, okay. No walking meditation, same. So this meditation is invented by one of the European monks who practice Theravadan traditions in Thailand, somewhere in Chiang Mai, invented this meditation. So, you know, here, for same, when the people from West, when they come to Thailand, they're looking for something simple that can be done within a short period of time. So I think that's the best, you know, so... So today I like to talk about, please everybody participate, okay? Please contribute. So actually it is coming from Lam Rim book, so I'm thinking as a something like that. Rise and shine. Rise and shine. So please, everybody contribute, you know, how you shine, rise and shine. I will say something from Buddhist point of view, how to shine. So you say something from your side, how to shine, what it means when you say rise and shine. So maybe Shubhila contribute, Hamula contribute, Kishisambo contribute, everybody contribute. So this is very important, you know, so there's a saying that you all have saying, rise and shine. So I look at that, you know, like, that's very good. So helping others, you know, so first we have to learn how to help ourselves. So then whole process, helping yourself, this whole has a message in Lam Rim teachings, how to do that. So... maybe somebody contribute. Rise and shine, yeah, please come. How to shine? How to shine, yeah. How to shine, yeah, please. Contribute, how to shine. What it means when you say rise and shine.
Well, I was thinking about the word shine and how we use the term a shining example, like someone who is really positive and successful. So I think that it can mean that, you know, to just do a really good job.
You know? Do a good job. Rise means?
To get up.
Get up or rise. Get up. Then do you want to say something about rise? How to rise?
I guess I was just taking that literally. You know, you get up in the morning.
Yeah, put the mics up, pass the mic. So I really very much like to hear from you. So I've been mumbling here last 14 years, so I'd like to hear from you.
This is a very literal translation as well, but I know that I literally rise and shine when I wake up with the sunrise or before the sun rises, and I watch the sunrise, and when I do my meditation in the mornings, my mind starts here in my own body, but then I can see it like go past the sunrise, and then I can think about everyone, all sentient beings, but I can see it because I have to sit in a place where I see the sunrise. And so for me, it's literally a rise and shine, and then it changes my day. And when I don't wake up with the sunrise, I feel it. You know, that's that's my environment. I think it's important to find for each person their environment that they can best be aware in themselves. And sometimes it might be a place or a room or a chair, but for me, it's the sunrise. I can go anywhere in the world, but if I can see the sunrise, then I think I'll be okay.
Oh, very good. That's good. Wonderful, yeah. So that's teaching for all of us. You know, so that's very good. That's wonderful. I like that. Very good, yeah. So then like you are saying, if you don't do that one day, then your day kind of like become... That's exactly... as a monk, you have daily practice. You just daily pray to say... You know, sometimes, like, if you don't do that a couple of days in a row, then you see the impact on your mind. You know, so that's a very good point. Yeah. Please continue. Yeah.
Well, for me, to rise means to awaken. And in the past, I think, if I'm like most people, the first thought I had upon awakening was a hot cup of coffee. And so,
hot cup of coffee.
Yeah. So, but one thing my teacher, Venerable Thupten Shodron, taught me, which is very helpful, is upon awakening, the moment that I'm aware that I'm awake, the way I try and shine is to remind myself. I say to myself, today I'm not going to harm others. Today I'm going to help them, and today I'm going to do all my words, thoughts, and deeds with the motivation to become enlightened for the benefit of others. Yeah. I try and make that my first moment, my first thought upon awakening. That helps me to shine.
Oh, good, wonderful. Yeah, good. So I think rising from a hot cup of coffee, I think... Yeah, yeah. That's also not so bad. What do you think? That's not bad. So, yeah, I think that's neutral. There's nothing positive or negative. Yeah.
So the phrase means to me is get up, get out of bed, and do something extraordinary. And the word shining to me would mean that kind of internal feeling you get when you do something really special, and you either feel like some light from heaven is shining down on you, or you feel like internally you're just kind of glowing with happiness because you got something accomplished. So the whole rise and shine phrase then means get up and do something extraordinary, and then this kind of light will be shining on you.
Oh, very good. Yeah, please, you have more contributions. Very good.
For me, rise and shine is the opposite of the Western name for an alarm clock. And Zig Ziglar, who was a motivational speaker, I think, spoke about how we're geared to certain terms, like an alarm clock that just jolts us. So it's changing our thinking to the opposite of that and mindfully getting up. And I also remember as a little girl, my father came to my bed and gently sang to me and rubbed my back, and that was how I was awakened. And don't have him there for me now, but so you can set your alarm clock to music or something else, and instead of that mindset that we often have in Western society.
Very good, very good. Yeah.
Yes, to me, rise and shine means that at any time of the day, you have to get up to face the courage to face the problems of the day and face them dead on instead of running away from them.
Mine was very simple. My mom used to wake me up saying, rise and shine, and hers was to get up, get out of bed, and have a nice, happy, sunny disposition like the sun and be happy instead of dreary like a rainy day. And so to me, that's what rise and shine means, just get up and be happy.
Yeah, please, more contributions. How we are doing? You are enjoying? Much better than me mumbling. Yeah, really, true. Yeah.
When I hear rise, I think that you have to wake up or awaken. The sun, the rays of the sun, the light wakes you up. But then once your eyes are open, the shine would be, well, the shiniest thing is a mirror. It reflects back all the light. So then you have to clear your mind, and so that you can reflect it back. So if you look, one of the first things you do in the morning is you look at a mirror. So that's a good, like a mindfulness thing. You can look at the mirror and remember that you have to shine today. So.
Well, I guess rise and shine means I have a daily routine where I wake up and I have animals that I take care of. So I take care of my cat and my dog and I feed them. And then my favorite part is our chickens, and I let them out in the morning and they're just always so happy. All the animals are so happy to see you. And it just makes me feel good that they're happy to see me and that they're fed and happy. And, you know, you just can't start your day bad when you have so many happy faces to greet you. So
some of you happy?
Happy faces, yeah.
Very good. Yeah, very good.
I guess rise and shine for me, I just came back from a family reunion, and this could be kind of trying, but this was good. It was the first time that I was able to just walk in, be myself, and be totally okay with every choice I've made in my life, and be happy, and be seen, and that's it.
Oh, good.
Hi, good morning. So I've heard the comments, and I did notice when I do literally wake up and see the sunrise and go to do my duties or with family or work, it seems to be you're more aware. You're more calm and aware. But for me, one thing, comparing my loved ones and also with duties if you work, I think if you take care of yourself and take time to have compassion towards yourself, then you show love to others, and not just at family, but also to people you encounter, like work or at a store. So I think sometimes when I found that, let's say, an action of mine that I would think of myself and not take care of somebody and just think, oh, wait, maybe I could have helped that person, or maybe this action, and I could have maybe gave him some bread, this person that was asking for food, or something else, or even at work with your duties. Well, speaking everything kind of what they say in a nutshell, in the short version, would be when you find yourself being a little egotistical maybe, or something didn't go the way you wanted, then you can rise and continue to shine, to show your best and show more compassion to the next person. So don't let that make you still get more egotistical and think of yourself, oh, I didn't do that right. Because if you rise above that and shine, then you'll share, the next person may really need you, your attention. Mm. When you can learn from your experience, have confidence. That was what I thought.
Very good, very good. Yeah, that's good.
When I think of rising, I think of like a focusing of energy, kind of like towards a task, typically. So in the morning, definitely like rising would be getting out of bed. But it could just like, I think this gentleman said, it can be any time of the day for me. I could be rising, which is really just a focusing of energy. And then, you know, a lot of times after the task is completed, I kind of look back on it, and then I definitely have this feeling of the task shined when I did the right thing, the virtuous thing. A lot of times, if it wasn't maybe a productive thing that I was doing, you know, it certainly wasn't shining for me. But I guess that's when I put those two words together. That's what that means to me. It's like a focusing of energy, and then shining would be doing like a virtuous kind of right activity.
Mm, good, wonderful. Yeah. Are you enjoying? Yeah, I think this is good, you know, to hear from different people. Yeah.
So, like a lot of people have said, it has to me a connotation of with in your family, or waking up. People, something people say to each other in the morning.
Rise and shine.
To your dog, or to your pets, or you just—it's a greeting, right, in the morning. Mm. So, to me, it has a. Connotation or feeling, new beginning. So it's fresh, a freshness. Rise and shine. So start again. You know, reconnect with whatever it is you connect with, but start again.
Hey, Geshe-la, I think you're only getting like half of the group speaking because where are my night owls at? Thank you.
What is that?
My.
I like to stay up late and sleep in the morning.
Night owl, yeah, one of you.
Exactly. Rise and shine is usually said to people like us, like, get out of bed. Mm. You're sleeping in too late. You know, it's very like, grr. So. For me, I'm not shining yet. I will be shining later in the day.
I have to agree with her. Most of the time, the process of waking up is like, that's the first thing that's said to me, but it takes about three of them or something to get me up and going.
Yeah.
Most of the time, bribery for pancakes or either a threat, you know, of water being thrown on to me. But usually the first phrase is rise and shine.
I do hate it.
Did you say something about pancake? What is pancake?
It is a bribe to get me out of bed.
A bribe to get a pancake, oh.
I'm in this camp. So, and Geshe-la mentioned Rise and Shine on Wednesday, so I was thinking about it this morning. I love to sleep in, so it takes a lot to motivate me to get out of bed. It just feels very good to lay in bed. And so I've been thinking to myself, well, if you don't rise, if you don't get up, then you can't benefit others. So that's a good reason to get up. So that gets me up. And then I was watching a TED Talk by a music conductor who helps people connect with music to experience joy. And he said something that really struck me. He said that he knows he's done his job when he looks at everyone who's there and they see the shining eyes. And so that's like the joy in other people. And so I think, am I bringing out someone's shining eyes today, and are my eyes shining today? And so are we connecting with that joy?
Very good, yeah. Wonderful. So no pressure, no pressure. No pressures. Gisan, what you like? Right. So somebody needs to explain Gisan will rise and shine. First of all, shocking over lunch, wake ups, rise and shine. Chiglada. Nambo cha kacho, shocking over lunch. Shocking over ya lung, it tuck. Kazo, shines, you know. December key which is lung, December key which shines, wake ups, you know. Wake ups. Maybe people like here from Gisambo too, but Gisambo never talks, so I think so.
We would like to hear from you.
Yeah. She loves Gisambo. Yeah, Lang is a summer contact, Lang is rice in the Lang's row, shines is a dog, shine is a wage of the wage of the Zenny Hollow. Keep it in Lang's or keep it in Lang. She loves the commitment, everybody's waiting Gisambo. So, no, we have to put pressure on Gisambo. We have to put pressure on Gisambo. Yeah, Gisambo, yeah. Yeah, please. Gisambo, you need to win it. Yeah, I'm more than happy to translate.
Somebody else.
So, yeah. So, Sarah, you have to put pressure on Gisambo.
So, while Geshe Sangpo is thinking of his answer, to me, you know, rising is like rejoicing. And it's not, you know, like this jump out of bed and, you know, scream and be happy and dance around sort of thing. It's like, you know, a quiet understanding that, hey, you're reborn as a human, you have an intelligence, you have all these leisure and opportunities. You know, you have another chance to be able to, avoid any negative actions that you've done in the past. You purify them in order to, you know, benefit other people and do positive actions and not, you know, commit the same kind of mistakes that you've done in the past. And then, and also, you know, the fact that you've met the Dharma. You know, I spent 3 weeks and, well, four weeks and, you know, watching people at hospitals, rehab, nursing home, people who are in extreme pain, and people have given up. You know, they're old and, they just don't have, any desire to, you know, or understanding that here's your chance, here's your opportunity. You know, even if you have, you're just lying in bed, you can't walk, you still have this wonderful intelligence. Most of them have, you know, still have their mental abilities. And, many of them don't know anything about Dharma. You know, they ask me about my clothes and so forth, so obviously they don't know anything about Buddhism. And so that I felt, you know, like shining, you know, even though it wasn't like a, again, not something where I jump in for joy, but it was like this wonderful feeling that in this life, you know, I have met the Dharma. I know what to do. I have teachers. What a wonderful opportunity I have. How lucky I am. And I can't give up. I have to help others and not waste my life. And even though I may not have the opportunity to come to the center, I can still practice at home and do prayers for other people. But you know, what a difference, you know, what a difference between that and having this opportunity, you know, to be able to, you know, open a book or have be able to say these prayers and so forth. So that's my rising and shining.
So today, maybe you heard about this sleeping yoga, awakening yoga, you know, there's eating yoga. There's minimal, like there's like six types of yoga. So I was wondering, like, what kind of do we need meditation? Do we need to say some prayer in order to shine in the morning? What is required? What is required to awake with heavy mind? Heavy mind? Heavy mind. So that's what I'm thinking. Shine means awake with some kind of heavy mind. So if you are, you know, Tara practitioner, so when you go to bed, what you, this from Buddhist point of view, okay? So when you go to bed, then you are imagining that you are sleeping on the lap of Tara and hearing this, you know, beautiful, like tunes of Tara mantra. That's what you're hearing, you know, that's how you fall asleep. It's almost like, you know, mother saying stories to the kids. It's a very nice story, you know, like something, you know. The whole idea is to kid to go to bed with kind of like feel secure, kind of, you know. So that's why, you know, you imagine that, you know, you're hearing these mantras so beautifully sing, you know. That's how you go to sleep. So then Tara slept. You feel kind of, because of your devotion to Tara, so you feel kind of secure, then you sleep. So then when you arise, then you arise with this, again, beautiful tune of mantra. That's called awakening yoga, sleeping yoga. But that's just example, but you know that it varies based on different, you know, like image, it varies. So, so then, you know, Lamula mentioned, as a Buddhist, you know, so what you do, so not just as a Buddhist, that's what you're supposed to do when you wake up, you know, to think something good. So do you think thinking something good is easy? So now, you know, because of that, we study, you know, it's very, very important to study, learn, you know, how to awake with, you know, positive thought. Yeah.
Thank you. Okay, so just thinking of that, it was what you just mentioned. I happened to sing to my baby yesterday to put her to sleep, and she lay down, and that's exactly what you mentioned, that feeling that that I felt. No, so I wanted to ask, and when I woke up today, she said, she came to me and said, "Wake up, Dad," and I felt really happy. So what I want to ask you is, as a Buddhist practice, it's basically a mental, it's not necessarily you have to hear a nice tune, like the
actual, you just imagine.
It's in your mind.
Imagining. So okay. Then, you know, eventually, you know, it could become real, you know, so eventually, you know. So, you know, so it may require some kind of meditation or maybe some kind of prayer, maybe help. These are tools, different tools that help you to learn, you know. So then as a Buddhist, what you do, minute when you wake up, that's how you're trying to use the awakening yoga, sleeping yoga, eating yoga. When you eat, then you are, you know, like there's some mental exercise that involves, you know, seeing food as a medicine. You know, it's not just, you know, to object of desire. You know, it's more than to, like, nutrition, to cure your health. So that's how you... So seeing food as a medicine, I'm using this food without attachment. Hatred, anger, not going to eat. You know? So like, people do eat with angry mind, right? Do people eat with angry mind? Yeah, clearly kids, six-year-old boy. So they eat with angry mind. So there's something they don't like to eat. So mother says, you have to eat this. And they're kind of like, eating that because, you know, Yeah, so that you see people do eat with him. So then you are trying to eat that with food with the calm mind, seeing is a source of nutritious to just to heal your physical body. So then I've been talking about, so this is not just Buddhist. So in Buddhism, there's information about precious human life. Precious human life. So then I've been mentioning this number of class last couple of months. I thought it's important to repeat this again. So the goal is to go here. It takes time, you know. There's something you do once a while, then, you know, you forget. It's not like every day we're trying to wake up, you know, seeing or finding something within yourself that you can be grateful. So in Buddhist case, there's precious human life. So maybe, say, anything you find. So goal is to wake up with positive mind. Not necessarily happy mind. Positive mind, something positive, rather than negative. Long as we have mind, as I just mentioned early this morning, class, the mind is like permanent roommate you can get rid of. So, what do you do? So you have like storage, self-storage, but you don't have mind storage. Here in America, you have self-storage. India, Nepal, we don't even have self-storage. I've been jokingly saying, you know. So, anyway, we can't store our mind. So we have no choice. As a Buddhist, that's what you do, you know, thinking, you know, questions that then need to be asked, each one of us, how you become human. You may think that's a piece of cake, but actually, according to Lamrim book, which has been taught 650 years ago, in this book, being human, that's not a piece of cake. This is no big deal. So now, how you become human? How? Do I have any clue? So no, so that's why I study. You know, you read this Lamrim book or Lamrim in the books. So then three questions will come out of these questions. Three answers. Three answers will come out of these questions. What is this first question? Precious. Meaningful, difficult to find. So these three questions. So then these are the questions, three answers. So then you concentrate on that. You know, when you talk about meditation, there are review meditations. You review something that you read, and you review it again. That's called review meditations. So then there's another meditation called analytical meditations. Then you say, you choose specific target, say, precious human life. Why my life is precious? So then, you know, then you use, like, say, reading is like building an icon on your computer. Many, many files. When you click, if the file is empty, then we need to read. So when you click, then you review them, then that's how you meditate. So then that's called review meditations, then analytical meditations. So each one of us in this room has responsibility how this message in these books 650 years ago, somebody says that we have to think something special about yourself. That your life is precious. If you think, oh, my life is bad, not good, I'm this and that. So, totally heading towards wrong directions. That's not good. We have to be able to say, oh, this is very special, this is very meaningful, this is so precious, so difficult to find. So that's one thing that I want to share with you, and how to do that. So this has been taught 650 years ago, maybe, you know, so now without losing the meaning, so how to transform that. So, yeah, then good to know, like, even like something that you see sunrise, if that makes you happy, that's wonderful, that's very good. Doesn't have to be Buddha's image, doesn't have to be precious human. The goal is to wake up, arise, you know, with happy mind. So that may require some knowledge, then you know that's why you read Lamrim. So then that's good. That's then how this helping arise and shine is the way to help yourself. So then you can say rise and shine to other people. And so there's, you know, you think life is not easy, right? It's complicated because, you know, it is. We need to learn, need so many knowledge to take care of this, you know, life. How to, especially whenever you encounter difficulties, how you can rise above. So then just, because now a couple of days, last couple of months, no, couple of class, I've been using this saying in America, rise and shine. Because every cloud has silver lining. Silver lining, every cloud. But every cloud doesn't have silver lining. There's no two. But some clouds do have silver lining. So that's what it means. That means there's a way to arise. My point of view, having this, you know, studying Buddhism, like what we call accepting difficulty voluntarily. Voluntarily. Picking up garbage on the side of the highway. If somebody says, okay, you have to go there, pick up garbage. Or say, okay, I want to go there, pick up garbage. Is there a difference? If you're voluntary, same task. It's a picking up garbage from the side of the road. If somebody tells you, you have to go there, doesn't seem very quite good. If you're voluntary, same task. It's exactly like, I say, seeing the silver lining in cloud. That's what it means. Whenever there's difficulties, as a Buddhist, from Buddhist point of view, you accept and try to transform that into something, then you create some kind of space, then there, it allows you to think something positive. Okay? What else? I'm a little tired today. Yeah. So, you have any, like, I think there's enough for today. I think we heard a lot of wonderful teachings from other people. So goal is how to arise, how to give you somebody who is to talk. So then, Chugila, the piece of paper that I left again. So then one piece that from the Mother Teresa, I like to share that with you, okay, Mother Teresa. So one question. Okay, one question. Chede Chinde Dunga is, Chede Chinde Dunga, one quotation. What do you think, like, I'm not sure, so I have to be careful how to say this in words, like translate. Chede Chinde, Chede, this life. Chede, this life. Chinde means like wishing to be happy. Wishing to be happy. So that it, mind itself, what do you think this like? What is this, mind is like wishing, I say, or wish, or desire, or kibo, this like, kinto means like, kibo is like happy, doga is desire for something happy. That very mind, this I see is very important to have some discussions. What do you think? This very mind is neutral, or is like suffering, or is happiness? The mind. What do you do if you want all the happiness in the world? What we need to do? Desire is causing more happiness or more suffering. Everybody agree? Everybody has to agree, so I'm not sure. Well, some people go like this, some people go like that. Chede Chinde Dungai. So I repeat this word again in my mind. Chede Chinde Dungai. Rung Lakuna Tenji Jung. Tenji Jung means, Tenji means ultimate, everlasting happiness. Just, you know, tying uptight with yourself, with that desire. Every moment, no matter where you go, vacations, restaurants, walk. I want happiness. Right? That's that mind. I want happiness. So then I saw something. So they said they took out want. They said take out the want. So I said, anybody saw that? Anybody saw? I want happiness. What first they take out? They take out I or want? They say take out I, then take out want, then there's happiness. Does it say something important? I think it's saying something important. I want happiness. So say take out I, take out want, there's happiness. So when you look at this, I didn't make this up. No, somebody else made it up. I just saw. No, somebody made it. So now, you know, I want happiness. I want happiness. I mean, not just one time. Every occasion. Then that, this guy say, destroying happiness. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So now, this is not very popular in the West. You know, every corner that encourages you to have more desire, more, get more, bigger. When they study, the living started since 1960s or way up like this. Living started, bigger house, more things, big car, big road, happiness level. What went wrong? You, American, you have to have all the physical happiness that you think there's such a thing called physical happiness. Lujdeva, you should have all of them because all the resources there. So mental happiness, so that, you know, so then, so what went wrong? There's studies been done, some movie about happiness, the movie that's been studied and done, all part of the world. So something needs to be think about. So now, So then now somehow probably need to work with how to minimize desire. There's something that's not very popular. What do you think in the West? You're hard to hear, you know, like everything is campaign for happiness. But when you actually get there, it's something else. You know? So the stories. So you remember, some of you may remember, I told stories like, these stories for me is like psychological teachings for me. So that kind of stories goes like that. I'm not being biased, but you know, the stories I heard from someone else told me, so then I really liked this story. Wherever I go to Mexico, I told this story many, many times. So the story is like, President Bush wants to go to have tour in heaven and hell. So then, you know, so guy who's responsible for the tour. So then the guy said, okay, which one you want to go see first? And he said, President Bush said, okay, hell. So then went there, you know, so all his friends playing golf, drinking beer, having a wonderful time. That was the time up, so tomorrow in the heaven. So tomorrow said, then in heaven, very quiet, no music, no beer, no playing golf, very quiet. So they said, okay, tomorrow you make choice. So yes, then you can come. They said, okay, now which one, where you want to go? Then President Bush said, kind of embarrassed to say, but I prefer hell. So go there. So okay, that's up to you. So then took there. No golf, no music, no beer, nothing. Everybody's kind of soaking in the mud. And he said, well, what happened? So then he said, yesterday's campaign for hell. Today's the real. Today's real. So then, you know, that's everything that you see is, for me, is, you know, yeah, you wonder, I wonder, or maybe if my life is different, maybe I'll be more happier, because this is the kind of life, kind of boring. So maybe you might wonder, you know, you might wonder. So that's, I think, oh, this campaign for happiness. When you get there, it's something else. So that's also, you know, the important teaching for me, So, so then here, I want to share this and I'll stop, okay. So, we know Mother Teresa, you know, doing a lot of work in India, Calcutta, the church. I've been there a number of times. So, what she says, I think, you know, probably need to pay a little attention, because these are the people who know how to be happy through service. Serving poor people, you know, people there. This is also related to this 7-point mindset text. Debu Rewa Thamche Pans means not expecting anything at all, not expecting anything at all. What, no matter what kind of work you do, you have no expectations. Means to return anything. That's exactly what Mother does. So that's very, it's like, it's amazing. It's amazing. So when you go there, the people they should take care of, what you can expect from them, nothing. They have no power, no money, no education. What you can expect, nothing. But you get something that's beyond price. You get that. But doing that all the time. That she's the one who said this. This word, every word has weight. Weight? Every word weighs something. So what Mother says is like, the fruit of prayer is faith. The fruit of prayer is faith. Something that, you know, in the Western world, very scientific-minded world, that people don't like to talk about faith. You know, many people are like fed up with faith. But for Mother, it's very, very important to have happy life, a happy mind. Faith play very important roles. Oh? Not problem, not necessarily talking about blind faith, but faith. Oh? The fruit of prayer is faith. Hmm? So prayer, as a monk, you read something, you know, you do something, oh? Faith. Oh? It's like water in the container. The container made out of clay, made out of stone, made out of wood, made out of plastic, made out of gold, made out of silver. So many different containers. If there's no water, there's nothing to reflect. Even though moon is shining, you don't see the reflection. Why? There's no water. So that's how I understand the faith. It's like water. Something to reflect, you have to have something in the container. The fruit of prayer is faith. The fruit of faith is love. This is like faith in teaching, not talking about faith in person, faith in teaching. That's like, I say, four lines. Don't rely on the person, rely on the word. Don't rely on the word, rely on the meaning. Don't rely just on the meaning. There's two different types of meaning. Interpreted meaning, definite meaning. So rely on definite meaning. Don't rely on the person, rely on the word. Chila madhe chela, don't rely on the word, rely on the meaning. Tangden la mide mide la means don't rely on interpreted meaning, rely on definite meaning. So these are all, you know, related to here, related there. So the fruit of faith is love. So there's something that we need to think about. Okay, something that we need to think about. Is that true? The fruit of faith. When, from the Buddhist point of view, I'm not sure how Mother described love. From Lamrim point of view, love is something that you are saying when you say, I love you. That what you are saying from Buddhist point of view, that you are saying, I'm here. Whenever you are struggling to get something in order of sake of happiness, I'm here to contribute. Whenever you are struggling to get something for happiness, I'm here to contribute. So that's what you are saying when you say, I love you. That's what you're saying. I have compassion. That means I'm here to help whenever you are struggling to overcome from something. I'm here to contribute, not to feel. So that's what it means. Huh? So now That's the definition of love from the Buddhist point of view. Definition of love means I'm here to help. I'm here for you. I'm here for you to contribute something that you're struggling to reach. I'm here to contribute to reach that goal and for your sake of your happiness. Huh? The fruit of faith is love. Then the fruit of love is service. Service. Then the fruit of service is peace. Mother Teresa. So I memorized that, so this morning I couldn't remember order, but I really like this. Doesn't matter. It's from coming from Buddha, coming from Mother Teresa, as long as it helps. It kind of like opens your mind. What is, you know, like this is kind of like, this is like related to each other. So there's something that I've lived here, so you can check this. And I do read a lot about Mother Teresa. Many books I read time and time again. I read. It's really inspiring, you know, like same physically, mentally, same. When you look at her face, it's like full of love, you know. So regardless, Buddhist, Hindu, Muslim, all kinds of people, when they think about Mother Teresa, they think about service without expecting anything in return, service. That's what we can do. Mother Teresa even speak Hindi language. She say, ek ek means one by one, not like, she was in Kosovo. She wanted to go to in the middle of the war zone to rescue people from there. People said, no, you can't go. Because there's so many of them. Mother said, I want to go just to rescue one person. That's how I start my charity house in Calcutta. I just rescue one. I didn't rescue 100 of them in one day. I took people who were laying on the street. I took them one by one. That's what I do. So there's something, you know, like Buddha 2,500 years ago. I never saw Buddha. You never saw. Mother Teresa, in our generations, you know, probably you hear Mother Teresa. It's like, we need some kind of inspirations, you know, to read something so that inspire you. So, thank you.
So we turn to the pink sheet, and we'll read the dedications. And while we're reading, I'll read the prayer list. The dedications are also a traditional time to make offerings to the Sangha and Dharma Center. We'll be passing generosity bowls in case you'd like to make a donation to the center at this time. Or there are donation boxes in the lobby if you prefer to focus on the prayers instead. And for the prayerless, prayers for a happy rebirth. All those killed by natural and man-made disasters. All the Tibetans who have been killed or have taken their own lives in the struggle for religious freedom. Clark Brown, Julio Castro, George M. Gebetsberger, Matian Godessa, Gary Goldberg, Tick Jones, Maurice, Richard Lenihan, Catherine Powell, Charles Renard, Mark Robertson, Theodore Henry Schreppel, David Allen Swanger, Brianna Yance, Luna Bell the Cat, Simon Oliver the Cat, Soha the Duckling. Prayers for health and well-being. Kyabje Lama Zopa Rinpoche, Venerable Margaret McAndrew, Venerable Turki Lamo, Venerable Tsepal, all those harmed by natural and man-made disasters. For the Tibetan people and for the Chinese authorities, may the nonviolent path lead to full reconciliation and religious freedom. Jim Barnes, Malika Bility, Hoya Colombo, Andrew Cook, Susan Daniel, Richard First, Mildred Gooch, Francis Hayashi, Leslie and Joan Inman, Kenny Jackson and Buddy, Helen Kasanoff, Vanessa Lillick and family, Shandy and Kurt Latimer, Nelson Mandela, Tom McGinnity, Marie Murphy, Adrian Oliver, Jay Pandya, Aunt Polly, R.G., Faye Renard and family, Jason Lee Roman, Dr. Albert Sants, Rosemary Cease, Aunt Barbara Tai, Dion Washington, Dorothy Wirtus, Suzanne Nolan and Neil Williams, Arnie Winant, Judith Wormser, Betsy Yance, and Pogo the Cat. If you have any names you'd like to add, would you please say them now? May all beings everywhere, plagued by sufferings of body and mind, obtain an ocean of happiness and joy by virtue of my merits. May no living creature suffer, commit evil, or ever fall ill. May no one be afraid or belittled with a mind weighed down by depression. May the blind see forms and the deaf hear sounds. May those whose bodies are worn with toil be restored on finding repose. May the naked find clothing, the hungry find food. May the thirsty find water and delicious drinks. May the poor find wealth, those weak with sorrow find joy. May the forlorn find hope, constant happiness and prosperity. May there be timely rains and bountiful harvests. May all medicines be effective and wholesome prayers bear fruit. May all who are sick and ill quickly be free from their ailments. Whatever diseases there are in the world, may they never occur again. May the frightened cease to be afraid, and those bound be freed. May the powerless find power, and may people think of benefiting each other. For as long as space remains, for as long as sentient beings remain, until then may I too remain to dispel the miseries of the world. In the land encircled by snow mountains, you are the source of all happiness and good. All-powerful Chenrezig Tenzin Gyatso, please remain until samsara ends. Savior of the snowland teachings and transmigratory beings, who extensively clarifies the path that unifies emptiness and compassion, to the lotus in the hand, Lord Tenzin Gyatso, I beseech, may all your holy wishes be fulfilled. The one who mastered his speech at a very young age, the one with great patience who received the name Avatara, the one with great precision who spread the teachings of Lama Tsongkhapa on bliss and void, Lama ornament of the yellow hat tradition, please remain until samsara ends. You who uphold the subduer's moral way, who serve as a bountiful bearer of all, sustaining, preserving, and spreading Manjana's victorious doctrine, who masterfully accomplished magnificent prayers honoring the three jewels, Savior of myself and others, your disciples, please, please live long. Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re Soha. 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 Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re Soha.
Thank you. Thank you. Have a nice weekend. Thank you.